Oh, brothers, Namaz will help you to see Allah. Oh, brothers, Namaz will help you to attain Jannah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. The Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has said, O people, undoubtedly on the day of judgment, the person amongst you who will attain salvation from its terrors and accountability will be the one who would have recited salat upon me abundantly in the world. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya sayyidi ya Nabiyallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, once again we welcome you to this beautiful silsilas on Madani channel known as the Laws of Salah. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the divine blessings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we had discussed many rulings pertaining to salah, and these rulings are obligatory, fard upon every Muslim to learn. Subhanallah. So, as we had covered those topics pertaining to the invalidation of salah and the rulings for Islamic sisters, the sunan of salah, the sunan after salah, subhanallah. Likewise, inshallah azza wa jal, today we will discuss the 32 makruhate tahreema of salah, subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, before we learn anything, as this is the style of Da'wat-e-Islami, that before we learn anything, we make good intentions. So, chaliye, come, let us make some good intentions, for there is no reward without any good intention. Our beloved Nabi, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, had said in a hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali, that the intention of a believer is greater than his action. Subhanallah. The more good intentions you make, the more the reward is. Therefore, you make this intention that I will watch this silsila and this program from beginning to end for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And whatever good I hear, I will practice upon it as well as teach it to others. I also make intention that I will speak or I will teach this laws of salah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had also said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَا, convey on my behalf even if it is a single verse. So we will teach the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam pertaining to salah. I make good intentions that I will teach ilmedeen for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya sayyidi ya Nabiyallah. In our previous episode, dear viewers of Madani channel, as we discussed the 29 acts that invalidate the salah. Inshallah, just to brush up for those that haven't heard or haven't seen this episode regarding those acts that invalidate the salah, just in a brief, or I would say in a nutshell, we would once again brush them before we go forward. We discuss the issue of talking in salah, or saying salam to someone, replying to the salam, as well as we discuss the crying issue during salah, coughing in salah, reading from a script whilst you are in salah. Allahu Akbar. The definition of amal-e kathir, we discussed swallowing during salah, deviating from the qibla whilst facing the qibla in salah. If one has to deviate and shift away from the qibla, then what happens? Killing a snake or scorpion during salah. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, before we discuss the 32 makruhate tahreema of salah, let us speak about the issue of itching in salah, as these things are very common on a daily basis. As we are human beings, it happens to everybody. So, scratching thrice in one unit of salah will invalidate the salah. For example, scratching once and then lifting the hand, then scratching and lifting the hand once again, it is twice scratching. To scratch and then move the hand, and then scratch again and move the hand, is twice, is counted as twice. If the act of scratching is repeated for the third time, salah will become invalid. Placing the hand once at an organ and moving it several times will be considered scratching once only. Subhanallah. So we had learned this mas'ala, that if a particular organ of his body is itching, and if one has to scratch it, then scratching it till he is satisfied is counted as one. And then for the second time, will be as a second time. But if one has to scratch any unit of the body, any particular organ of the body thrice, then this will invalidate his salah. Allahu Akbar. So, dear viewers of Madani channel, that was just a little brief recap of those acts that invalidate the salah. Come inshallah, let us learn about makruhati tahreema of salah. Fidgeting with beard, body or clothes. This is a known thing, that when people stand for salah, then they intend to play with their beard whilst in salah, or fidgeting with their clothes or body. Folding clothes, as these days some people lift their trousers, etc., from the front or rear side while going down for sajda. However, if the clothes sticks to the body, there is no harm in unsticking it with one hand. So whilst going down for sajda, if one is lifting his trouser or folding it from the top or from the side, these acts is known as makruhate tahreema of salah. Makruhate tahreema means that salah will have to be read once again, will have to be repeated. So hanging a shawl over shoulders, for example, keeping a shawl or handkerchief on the head or shoulder in such a way that its both ends are hanging. For example, if one has to put a shawl around his neck and leave both the ends of the shawl like this, without it folding around his neck. However, if one end is on a shoulder and the other is hanging, there is no harm in it. These days, some people keep their handkerchief on one shoulder in such a way that its one end is hanging at the belly, while the other at the back. Offering salah in this state is makruhe tahreemi. Likewise, if either of these sleeves is folded high than a half the forearm, the salah will become makruhe tahreemi. So, dear viewers of Madani channel, we have learned that folding of the sleeves, leaving the shawl or handkerchief on the shoulders, just hanging with both the ends on both the sides, without it being folded around the neck. We have developed this kind of habit. This is the time where we should try and rectify those mistakes. Allahu Akbar. Come, dear viewers of Madani channel, let us learn about those acts which are intense excretory requirement. There are certain emergencies in salah. So what should one do in these cases? Being in the intense need of urinating, defecating or breaking wind, if there is intensity before starting the salah, starting salah in this case is a sin provided there is sufficient time available for salah. Because there is sufficient time for that person to answer the call of nature, perform his wudu, and then restart his namaz. If the time of salah will elapse in this case of making wudu, having urinated or defecated, offer salah in the same condition. If this state occurred during salah, it is wajib to cancel salah, provided there is sufficient time available for the salah. If someone offered salah in the same state, he would be a sinner. So if one feels that he needs to go and answer the call of nature, and there is sufficient time for him for the salah, the time of salah is still there, then he should rather go and release himself, free himself from this, perform his wudu, and then read his salah. And if he does it in the state that there is time, and yet he still performs salah, whilst he is in that urgency of answering the call of nature, then he would be a sinner. Allahu Akbar. Now the next thing that we would learn regarding the makruhate tahrimi is removing grit during salah. It is makruhate tahrimi to remove a grit, for example, any obstacle during salah. Hadrat Sayyiduna Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that when he asked the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam about touching grit during salah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, once. And if you avoid doing so, it is better than 1,000 black-eyed she-camels. Allahu Akbar. As this was very expensive in those days. That removing it once is better, but to abstain from doing so, the reward of having patience in salah, that one did not remove the obstacle from his path, the reward is more than 100 black-eyed she-camels. Subhanallah. However, if sajda cannot be performed according to the sunnah due to the grit, due to those obstacles on the way, removing it once is allowed. Further, if any wajib cannot be performed without removing the grit, removing it is wajib in this case, even if there is a need of removing it more than one time. Allahu Akbar. So dear viewers of Madani channel, moving the grit, scratching in salah, hanging the shawl, answering the call of nature, these are those common things that we face on a daily basis. So if one wants that he should have khushu and khudu in salah, humiliation and fear, then he should follow these madani pools, learn the rules and regulations of salah, subhanallah. So now, let us learn about the next thing, which is known as crackling of knuckles. Allahu Akbar. These days in large numbers we see musallis that go and perform salah. It has become a trend that people crack their knuckles. It is mentioned in the books of fiqh that it is makruh tahrimi to crackle knuckles during salah. Hadrat Allama Ibn Abidin Shami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has mentioned a narration with the reference of Sunan Ibn Majah that the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, don't crackle your knuckles during salah. Allahu Akbar. It's a command by our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Don't crackle your knuckles during salah. Another narration with the reference of Mujtaba says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam prohibited from crackling knuckles at the time of waiting for salah. One more narration says the crackling of knuckles was forbidden for the one going for offering salah on the basis of the foregoing ahadith. The following three rules were proved by the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that one should not crackle his knuckles, he should not bust them. Allahu Akbar. Crackling knuckles during salah as well as connectors of salah is makruhe tahrimi. If one is going to perform salah, or he is in the saf waiting for the jama'ah, or he had performed his sunnah salah and is about to perform the remaining of his salah, and then he crackled his knuckles, Allahu Akbar. all these acts is makruhe tahreemi. Crackling knuckles unnecessary when not offering salah, nor even during tawabi'i salah is makruhe tanzihi. Anything out of salah that has no relationship with salah, whilst in the shop, whilst being at home, relaxing and crackling the knuckles without any reason, it is makruhe tanzihi. Allahu Akbar. When not offering salah, crackling knuckles out of a need, such as giving rest to the fingers, is mubah. It is fine to do so, as long as there is a specific purpose in doing so, that one wants to rest his fingers as they are paining due to writing or because of working. So it is mubah. One does that, he would not be a sinner. Now let us learn about intermixing the fingers of one hand with those of the other. For example, like this. The fingers of the right hand between the fingers of the left hand. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, the one proceeding to the masjid should not do tashbiq. He should not intermix both hands, fingers with each another. Verily, he is in salah. Tashbiq is makruhe tahreemi. At the time of waiting for salah as well as going for offering salah. If one is going for salah and whilst walking or sitting in his vehicle and going for salah, if he has his hands like this, it is makruhe tahreemi. Or if you are in the masjid waiting to perform salah, you are waiting to perform your salah and your hands is like this. So performing this act in Islam, our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, it is makruhe tahreemi. Allahu Akbar. So subhanallah, we had learnt these beautiful rules and regulations of salah, those things that are makruhate tahreema of salah. We had learned them. Now it is time for us to implement them so that we can perfect our salah. Subhanallah. Let us now learn about placing hand on the back. Yes, dear viewers of Madani channel. This is also a very common thing that people usually have the habit of placing their hands on their back. So it is mentioned that placing hands on the back during salah is makruhe tahreemi. One should not place hands on the back, for example, at the middle of both the sides without a reason, even when not offering salah. Namaz ke andar ho ya namaz ke bahar ho. Whether you are in salah or whether you are out of salah, one should not place his hands on his sides or at the back. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said that placing hand on the back is the comfort of those who would be in hell. Astaghfirullah. Tubu ilallah. Astaghfirullah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In other words, it is the practice of the Jews who would be in hell. In reality, there would be no comfort for those who would be in hell. So our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, abstain from placing your hands on the sides or at the back, as this will be the comfort of those who will be in hell. Allahu Akbar. So dear viewers of Madani channel, now let us learn about looking towards the sky. Looking towards the sky in salah. It is makruhe tahreemi to raise the eyesight towards the sky during salah. The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, how are those who raise eyes towards the sky during salah? They had better refrain from it or else their eyes will be plucked. Allahu Akbar. Their eyes will be snatched and plucked away. For those who look at the sky during salah, seeing here and there by turning the face, whether completely or partially, during salah is makruhe tahreemi. Seeing here and there unnecessarily, just by turning eyes without turning the face is makruhe tanzihi. Just the eyesight here and there is makruhe tanzihi. Whilst we're moving the entire face in salah will be makruhe tahreemi. And if it is readily done out of a need, there is no harm in it. Subhanallah. The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, the mercy of Allah remains attentive to the musalli unless he sees here and there. When the musalli turns his face, Allah's mercy also turns away from him. Allahu Akbar. So concentration and tawajjuh in salah should be there. The one who's performing salah, he should have this kind of concentration. By looking here and there, one's attention is divided. It is divided. And once the attention of the musalli is divided, indeed, shaitan will put waswaswa in his mind. Then he would start to think about his family. He would start to think about his work and things related to the dunya. He will have no concentration whatsoever in salah. So, humko chahiye, we should try to have attention and concentration during our salah. Subhanallah. Men's keeping their forearms laid on the ground in sajda. This is also part of makruhate tahreema of salah. That the forearms should not be touching the ground for men's. The arms should be away from their sides and lifted away from the ground. Subhanallah. So, dear viewers of Madani channel, men's keeping their forearms laid on the ground is also one of the makruhate tahreema of salah. The hands of men, as we did discuss in the previous episode, that where should the hand or the forearms of a man be in salah, then according to the rules and regulations of salah, the forearms of a man should be away from his sides. Whereas the rule for women is totally different. The arms should be towards their sides, flat on the ground, and the forearms of the men should be lifted off the ground. Subhanallah. Now let us learn about looking towards the musalli. This is also a common issue these days. So to offer salah facing the face of a person is makruhe tahreemi. For the other person, it is impermissible and sin to turn face towards the musalli. For example, let us understand this. If someone starts offering salah facing the face of a person who was beforehand sitting in that direction, you went to perform salah. And as you went to perform salah, there was somebody else seated there before you. And he is facing you whilst you are facing the qibla. Allahu Akbar. Or one starting salah will be sinner and will be accused. So the one who's performing salah should not face a person who beforehand was sitting there and facing the face of the musalli. Allahu Akbar. Otherwise, the one turning face towards a musalli will be a sinner and will be accused. So if a person is sitting there before the musalli came, and once the musalli had started performing his salah, then he turned his face towards the musalli, and now he is facing the musalli, then he will be a sinner. Allahu Akbar. All those who look back after the salam of jama'at is performed, facing the face of the musalli offering salah, just behind them, or those who stand facing him and wait for him to perform salah so that they could go back, or those who make announcement, deliver dars or speech sitting or standing just in front of the musalli, all should repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How severe this is. So we should focus on these issues, that it had become a habit for the people that perform salah at the front rows, in the front rows, those who perform salah, as the imam had terminated his salah, and people now want to go to the back and perform their salah. It's a habit that now we stand in front of the musalli who's still performing his salah. So to wait in this manner, or to give a speech, or make an announcement while there are musallis at the back who are still completing those rak'ats that they had missed. In all these cases, those people that make announcements, give speeches, or wait for those people to complete their salah, so that they could go towards the back, they all should repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To cover the nose and the mouth during salah is also makruhe tahreemi. Another very common issue is this, that cleaning of the throat. Allahu Akbar. Cleaning throat, for example, bringing the phlegm to the mouth unnecessarily. There is no need to make those sounds, or the phlegm is not irritable, so unnecessarily one brings phlegm to his mouth. Also makruhe tahreemi. Yawning deliberately during salah is makruhe tahreemi. But if it is spontaneous, there is no harm in it. if it is natural, not deliberately, but on a natural basis it came, then there is no harm in it. Yet, it is mustahab to stifle it. Allahu Akbar. If one tries to control his yawn, that the yawn is coming, but he is focused in his salah. To be focused and to control those things that may derive the mind, there is thawab and reward for him. If someone feels the need of yawning during salah, he should stifle it as long as possible, because shaitan enters the mouth. When you yawn in salah, our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, the moment you yawn in salah, or even out of salah, shaitan enters the mouth of that person who yawns. So, whilst one is performing salah, and he has to open his mouth, it is better for him to cover it in a standing position, as we discussed before. To recite the Holy Quran in the reverse order. For example, reciting Surah Lahab in the first rak'at and Surah Nasr in the second rak'at. Backwards. Not in tartib of the Holy Quran. So this will also be part of makruh tahrimi. In all these cases, dear viewers of Madani Channel, we should try. In fact, we must learn these rules and regulations. How would one achieve the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or how would we gain that satisfaction and tranquility in salah if we perform salah without knowing the rules and regulations of salah? Subhanallah. So for those who had learned and watched today's episode, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all practicing Muslims so that we may enjoy our salah. There is a taste and lazzat in salah. That satisfaction and tranquility of the heart is in salah if it is performed correctly. Subhanallah. So therefore, let us learn about missing a wajib. For example, going down for sajda without standing erect in qawma, or going for the second sajda without straightening the back in jalsa, is also makruh tahrimi. Yes, we had also discussed this issue in the previous episodes, that one who rushes in salah, as we also mentioned one hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that who is the thief of salah? The one who is a thief is he who shortens his salah. He does not perform the acts correctly. From qiyam he went into ruku, and from ruku as he came into qawma, he stood up. Before going to sajda, he never stood erect. He did not straighten his body. Rather, he went for sajda. And after the second sajda, he did not sit. Or after the first sajda, before the second prostration, he had not sat still in jalsa. So these are the shortcuts that these days people are normally making in salah. Reciting the Holy Quran in any other unit of salah except qiyam, completing qira'at having bent for ruku. The qira'at is not completed. You are reading a surah, and before that surah is completed, one goes in for ruku. So these are those things which are the makruhate tahrima of salah. Muqtadis bending for ruku or going down for sajda, etc. Or raising the head prior to the imam. All are makruhe tahrimi. This is a very common known issue, that if one is in jama'at, he is performing salah behind the imam, and before the imam says Allahu Akbar for ruku, he goes in for ruku. Before the imam says Sami Allahu liman hamida, before the imam could stand, the muqtadi stands. If the imam says Allahu Akbar whilst going to sajda, it is noticed that some musallis rush and they haste before the imam. Regarding this, Hazrat-e Sayyiduna Imam Malik narrates via Hazrat-e Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, the one who raises and lowers his head before the imam does, the hair of his forehead are in the hands of shaitan. Allahu Akbar. It is so clear our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, the one who hastes in salah before the imam, he does the ruku and sujood before the imam, the forehead, the hair on the forehead is in the hands of shaitan. So we should try and abstain from this act. Allahu Akbar. Similarly, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, does the person raising his head before the imam not fear that Allah Azza wa Jal turns his head with the head of a donkey? Allahu Akbar. The head of a musalli who hastes before the imam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resembles his head like of a donkey. This is such a big thing, dear viewers of Madini channel. Astaghfirullah. So we should repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just so that you and I may learn a lesson. They say ibrat, lesson. Some kind of advice that we should take from this. Let us hear a very trembling story and incident that happened. Once, Hazrat Sayyiduna Imam Nawawi alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi went to Damascus to listen to a hadith from a very, very famous person who used to teach his students keeping his face covered. Allahu Akbar. Now look, a famous muhaddith, a famous scholar and teacher, but he teaches whilst he is in parda, whilst his face is covered. Regarding him, Imam Nawawi alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi learned a lot from him for a long time, but did not see his face. After a long time, when the muhaddith, the famous person, realized that Imam Nawawi alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi was very eager to acquire knowledge of hadith, one day he unveiled his face. This muhaddith alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi removed the veil and the parda from his face, and he showed the student. To Imam Nawawi's utterance, astonishment, the face of the muhaddith was like that of a donkey. Allahu Akbar. This muhaddith who had been teaching hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who is preaching Islam, his face is like the face of a donkey. Allahu Akbar. The muhaddith said, son, fear from proceeding the imam during jama'at, lowering head for ruku or raising it from ruku, or raising the head from sajda prior to imam. When I got to know about this hadith, when I learnt this hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I considered it as weak, unauthentic, due to the unreliability of its narrators. Due to the narrators of this hadith, I thought that this hadith is unauthentic. Allahu Akbar. Which resulted in my face being distorted in the state that you are seeing now. My face has turned into the face of a donkey. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers of Madani channel, this great muhaddith who is teaching hadith, who is enlightening the students, many, many students were enlightened by his knowledge. But look at the face of this muhaddith. And he says, son, I knew that this hadith, I thought to myself that this very hadith is unauthentic. And due to this, I used to proceed before the imam in ruku and sujood. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had did to me. So now you had learned this hadith. So let us try and repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us try to read salah with fear and humiliation. Dear viewers of Madani channel, this is the time where we had come towards the end of our silsila. I stress on this issue once again, that convey the messages to one another. Learn and practice upon what you have just learned today, and try and teach it to others. In the coming episodes, inshallah, we will discuss the 33 makruhate tanzihi of salah. Makruhate tahrimi we have learned today. We will learn about the makruhate tanzihi. So don't forget, what is our missionary statement? I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya Sayyidi ya Nabiyullah.
Oh brothers, namaz will help you, namaz will to see Allah. Oh brothers, namaz will help you, namaz will to attain Jannah.